Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Yes, it is the Bill Press Show. My name is Peter Ogburn, here with the Weekend Podcast. You know, during the week, we talk about all kinds of political issues. And here on the weekend, we sometimes get a little bit away from politics, although everything is kind of political these days. And one of the things that's very, very political that we often talk about on these weekend podcasts is food. Yes, indeed. Food is very, very political. And joining me now to talk about that is Jamila Robinson. She is content strategist for the USA Today Network. Welcome. First trip in studio.
First trip in the studio. Thank you, Peter, for having me. I'm excited to be here with you and to talk about food.
You and I have been virtually following each other for a while now.
Exactly. We've been food fans.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's one of those things. It's just like, no matter what, right? Like, you'll always have food to talk
exactly.
about.
Exactly. We like to bring people to the table, and that's where all of the great discussions happen.
It's so funny, right? Because again, with the intersection of politics and food, I remember there were so many people so concerned about Thanksgiving in 2016 after the election that we had, and you're going to see family members who might have voted a way that you didn't vote with. I certainly felt that anxiety. But then, you just sit down and you eat, a really nice meal that everybody works really hard on, and it's nice.
It's absolutely, that's true. And sometimes some of that anxiety that we have about the discussions that will take place at a dinner table, sometimes people aren't having the same anxiety that you think that they might be having.
Exactly.
And sometimes having a good toast, talking about whatever are the things that actually bring you together, those are the kinds of things that should happen at a dinner table.
Yeah. As we mentioned, food is very, very political. I want to talk to you about a story that caught my eye yesterday. It was in the Washington City paper by our friend Laura Hayes. And she wrote about something that happens in a lot of different cities. They have a restaurant week. Here in Washington, D.C., it's one of the bigger ones. It's usually done in the summer when typically it's quieter, although these days it's not necessarily the case, but a lot of times it's quieter in August. When we do a restaurant week, they try and get people to come in with special menus and try and, get more reservations. But there's a new thing that's coming to Washington, D.C., and it is Black Restaurant Week, which is really cool considering, the African-American history here in Washington, D.C. specifically.
Sure. And Black Restaurant Weeks have been taking place all over the country in cities like Detroit, Atlanta, New Orleans. You'll see these kinds of restaurant weeks popping up a little bit everywhere. So it's new to Washington, but it's not a new concept.
All of those cities with very rich, African-American or African cooking traditions, right?
Absolutely.
When you look at New Orleans specifically, right?
Right. And they'll have a huge African-American tradition, but maybe not a large African-American ownership in terms of restaurants. So these kinds of restaurant weeks are great ways for chefs and culinary professionals, food truck owners to come together and to talk about not only to bring people into the restaurants with the discounted meals that you would see at any other restaurant week, but also to put together programming so that other chefs and other food professionals can come together and collaborate.
So talk to me about I can obviously see why this is important, right? But what is the necessity of something like this in the city?
I think it's important for chefs and food purveyors, and for and also for the public to come together and see the highlight of talent across the spectrum. But it's also, I think it's really important for those chefs and food purveyors to come together. Maybe they want to collaborate on a pop-up. Perhaps they want to challenge themselves with a different kind of cuisine. Perhaps they want to highlight their mixologists or their bartenders. And so this is a good opportunity to do that and to actually talk to students who might be interested in culinary careers to also come together. So this is a collaborative. These are collaborative events.
That's, I think that's really, really cool because it's not just like a promotion or a stunt, which let's be clear. The Restaurant Week stuff in most cities are usually like a stunt. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's a stunt to get more people in. This is goes deeper than that.
Well, I don't know if it's, I think those are not the terms that I would use. I think that's a little unfair. I would say that restaurant weeks are really important for not only for the public to come in and be able to afford a restaurant. You can try a new restaurant. You would be able to have that at a discounted price, to visit a new neighborhood that perhaps you haven't been. And DC, I think, is special in terms of it does have a lot of people who actually go out to eat versus cooking at home. But that actually expands the possibilities for people to experience dining.
When I was a kid, I grew up around women who cooked all the time, right? Like I grew up in a Southern family. Most of the men would go watch football. I would go into the kitchen with my grandma, my mom, and I would cook. And that's, it's my favorite thing. And so it always sort of blew my mind that restaurants and the restaurant industry were dominated by male, predominantly white male chefs. And that seems to be changing.
That is changing. And you can see from the James Beard Awards this year that Eduardo Jordan was named had the best new restaurant and best chef in the Northwest.
By the way, speaking of the James Beard, we had Rodney Scott on the show from South Carolina, a buddy of mine,
yes.
Pitmaster, which is, again, like not one of those. I mean, when you think of barbecue restaurants, it's not one of those things that you think of as like elevated cuisine.
Well, that depends on your perspective, because barbecue is, can you think of anything more American that starts more fights than barbecue, whether it's Southern barbecue or North Carolina or all of the different regions? But you have so many other chefs that are coming along, Mashama Bailey from The Gray in Savannah, Georgia,
yeah.
And all of these great chefs who are coming along, great people, and in Detroit, the Lady of the House is a restaurant that was nominated for best new restaurant. So that is changing because you're looking for equity, and so as more women, more people of color are moving into the industry, you're going to see that change.
It was just a couple of weeks ago, I was down in South Carolina, and I went to my favorite barbecue restaurant of all time, which is Sweatman's Barbecue near Holly Hill, South Carolina. It's a good reminder that, you know, good barbecue doesn't find you. You find good barbecue.
You find it.
and I was having this conversation with my kid, who's 13, right? And sort of you think about the how restaurants operate. And it's a fairly stress-filled environment. It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of long hours, and it's a lot of thankless work, right? Even in fine dining restaurants, you know, whether it's getting things down to a level of finesse or training people to be so over the top.
All of the prep. Yes.
And so then we were talking to the pitmaster at Sweatman's, and he says, yeah, you know, they're only open 2 days a week, Friday and Saturday, which is a great sign for a good barbecue restaurant. And he says, yeah, you know, we get here on Monday, we start chopping wood. And the guy is just, you know, he's hulked out. He's been chopping wood all week. They cook hogs overnight. You're up all night. I mean, it's hard work.
It's a process, not an event.
Yeah.
Good food is and good dining, good restaurant prep, that's a process, not an event. And you know what you see on your plate is the finished product, but there is a lot that goes into that. And I think so many restaurants make it look easy at the end, but there is so much grit and sweat and chopping wood that goes behind that.
Yeah. And it also gets back to your point of sort of the equality of the restaurant scene, right? Like, we just for years have associated these fine dining, white tablecloth type of restaurants with being, you know, these folks have worked so hard to refine this particular thing. But like, not everybody has access to that type of stuff.
That's true. And that's the great thing about restaurants is it's a matter of perspective. Someone who has grown up on barbecue, such as yourself, or grown up on Southern food, maybe that doesn't need to be refined. There's this idea that it needs to be refined, but sometimes a beautiful sauce is just beautiful as it is, whether it has vinegar or mustard or tomato sauce or whatever your base is. Or like, I like meat kind of untouched, super, super well seasoned without sauce. But that's beautiful too.
Yeah.
And so our perspective is all about equity. As we bring more people to the table and we try new things, I think that's a really important thing in order to build up access. And I think restaurant weeks are one of those things that help create access.
Getting back to the Black Restaurant Week, there was an interesting quote from A.J. Johnson, who's one of the co-organizers of this event here in Washington, D.C. She's the author of a book called White Plates, Black Faces. And she says, quote, "I think 5 or 10 years ago, a Black Restaurant Week would not have existed at all," which I think is probably pretty accurate. I think it's probably pretty accurate. So why is that?
Well, there's a statistic from the National Restaurant Association that says only about 8% of restaurants are owned or operated by Black chefs. So that's a very, very small percentage.
Yeah.
So I think that there's probably some accuracy in that just because of how being able to bring that many people together. And that just shows the change and a shift that to see that this is possible, that you can bring this many people together to collaborate.
Yeah. It is the DC Black Restaurant Week. So if people want to join in on this, they're using the hashtag DMVBRW, by the way, which is important. If you're going to go out there, show your support for it and let people know.
Right. And always, you know, take a picture of your food, take a picture and share it on social. I think that's really important. I always think that it's important to share pictures of your plate and tell people where you're eating and what you're eating and expand that experience and share that. I love telling people about what I'm eating, what I'm cooking, where I'm going, which chefs I met, and something interesting that they're cooking. Or if someone asks me for restaurant recommendations, I always will say, oh, go to this restaurant and try this thing. Take this as an appetizer to help them, to help guide their experience. I think that's really important.
I mean, all good restaurants tell a story. It's not just all about delicious food. Delicious food is obviously a big part of a successful restaurant. But you got to tell a story.
They're telling you a story about their background, their history. It may be a story about the street or where the restaurant is located, how it's named, how they put together their menu, or something that may be classic. I love Kith and Kin on the D.C. Wharf and how they name their cocktails.
They also
tell a story. And I think that that's really interesting and a really great part of the experience. Tell people what you ate and take a picture of it.
Yeah, totally. And of course, the biggest and most important part of having someone tell you a story is just listen. Just listen.
Absolutely.
Just listen. You'll learn something.
Absolutely. That's the great thing about being at the table. All of the conversations that we think that we're afraid to have, you can have them at the dinner table.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Jamila Robinson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You know, I love to talk about this stuff, and you're so much fun to talk about it with. Jamila Robinson, she is content strategist for the USA Today Network, a fellow food lover.
Fellow foodie. Let's eat, everybody.
Let's do it. All right, thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks, Peter.